So the topic is things that each of the three of us, well, now it's the two of us, as Prabhupada disciples, especially appreciated when we heard Srila Prabhupada or interacted with Prabhupada or some way came to know of Lord Nrisimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj and the wonderful Leela that we'll be honoring on Tuesday on Nrisimhadev's appearance. So this is a warm-up for Tuesday. And some special appreciation of our founder Acharya as well. Some of you heard this yesterday evening when Nrisimha Maharaj was, Govinda Maharaj, excuse me, was speaking on, just before the stage performance began. I don't even remember how it came up, but we joined, our interaction with the Hare Krishna movement was at the same place, just a little bit separating in time. I was a student at a university. My first experience with Prabhupada was when he was on that tour of colleges and he came to university with Allen Ginsberg and,
it's like 68 or?
It was 69, I think. 69. That's my memory. You know, in the Milford Fillmore room of Norton Union, and there was a little stage and Prabhupada and Allen Ginsberg were on the stage, and I didn't know what it was and who it was or anything. Just there was a big crowd of people around the entrance of the Millard Fillmore room. I wonder what that is. So I kind of wiggled my way through the crowd at the door and went inside, and my life changed. Just heard Prabhupada chanting. He was playing Kartals. Allen Ginsberg was playing bongo drums, and everybody was flying in the air and just chanted for a long time, maybe 2 hours.
That long?
It was a long kirtan. And then short talk at the end, and you know what the message was, and we have a program on Englewood Avenue, and you can come by.
Did you go to the program?
I went there later, but I didn't go when Prabhupada was there. He was there for only a short time. I can't remember. I didn't know what was what. But something happened. So our beginnings in the Hare Krishna movement were from the same place. Our lives moved in different ways. Krishna had his plans for us. But here we are, once again, remembering Lord Nrisimhadev. So, as a very new devotee, I started... I'll tell you later why it wasn't Boston or Buffalo. But I liked very much the Boston Temple when I had to visit for graduate school. I went to the temple. It's where the ISKCON press was. Mm-hmm. So there are all those like Maharati personalities. You know, everybody. Jai Dvaita Maharaj and, you know, the Murli Dar and Jadarani and Bharadraj and...
That's a great place.
You know, the whole, it's just this little house, and it was just this wonderful assembly of Vaishnavas. And, you know, when we took prasadam, we're just telling Prabhupada stories. When we took prasadam, it was an event. It was hearing from the older devotees the Prabhupada stories. It was this medley of Prabhupada stories and Prabhupada stories, and we didn't want to finish prasadam, we just wanted to, and then wait for the next prasadam so we could hear the Prabhupada stories 3 times a day. And never hear a second story. I mean, you'd never hear it twice. Another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. All because these devotees had that association with Prabhupada. And the availability of recordings, Subal, the availability of recordings wasn't like it is today. There were some recordings, but in the very early stages, I don't know how or why, but I had the opportunity to hear Prabhupada speak about Prahlad Maharaj. And he right away became one of my heroes. I didn't have too many heroes growing up, but Prahlad Maharaj became a great hero, like right away. Wow. And so I'm just going to share some of the things that I remember hearing from Prabhupada about Prahlad Maharaj. I didn't so much understand Lord Nrsingadev, but I understood Prahlad Maharaj. The part with Nrsingadev was to protect Prahlad. So that was very clear. A devotee that takes shelter with all humility at the same time, Prahlad was so bold. Humility, compassion, and boldness. It was like, wow, Sankirtan, spirit. He's just a little boy. And one of the verses that Prabhupada would quote regularly is Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. This is Prahlad speaking to his class friends, his classmates. From the earliest tender age of childhood, Kumara, one of Krishna's names is Gopa Kumar, the cowherd boy. Cowherd boy. So, like when someone begins school, 5 years old. Even then it was 5 years old. Now it's still 5 years old. So when that age comes, as soon as the opportunity for education comes, devotional service. Because Manusham, this human form of life is very rare to achieve, and one shouldn't waste it. Durlabham, very, very rare to achieve the human. There's so many species of life. And so rare is attaining the human form of life. That Prabhupada was pressing this point of urgency when explaining to his students. We shouldn't waste our time at all. Because Prahlad's friends, the little boys, what do little boys want to do? They like to play. The standard of a good school is there's lots of time to play. I learned that from the children in our congregations in different places. That's the standard of a good school. Lots of time to play. But for Prahlad, it was the opportunity, as soon as the teachers left the classroom, it's the opportunity to chant. And not waste time doing boyish things and then young boy things. And then he went through the whole sequence of the stages of life where Maya has so much for us to do where there's no time. So now is the time. And he inspired them and they got up and chanted in ecstasy. And then the school teachers came back in. And then problems began. But fearless and courageous, even in speaking to his father, what to speak of in the classroom, he was a hero. He discussed it at the Naperville Center, this midday program. Matirna Krishne Paratak Svatova. Anyone that's heard Prabhupada speak has heard that verse hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Matirna Krishne Paratakswatova Vitovihadita Grahakvatanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punash Punak Charvata Charvananam. Even sounds nice if you don't know its meaning. Persons, my dear father, persons like you will never understand the goal of life. Because you're too much absorbed in finding happiness in material activity. It's not possible for someone to instruct you. It's not possible on your own effort. It's not possible by a combination of the both, of the two. Hold the conference to discuss what's the purpose and goal of life. Not tevya du svartika timi vishnu. So again and again Prabhupada would speak. See, he's very directly, not indirectly, very directly, very directly, and very calmly. Wasn't in a confrontational, it was just matter of fact. The goal of life is Vishnu. And then when his father became so enraged, he didn't blink. He just continued being Prahlad Maharaj. And Lord Nrisingadev protected him. And when Lord Nrisingadev offered his benediction to Prahlad, Prahlad's humility would embarrass anybody who's trying to be humble. I don't have any qualification. How can I offer prayers to you? I'm born in a demoniac family. I have demoniac blood coursing through my veins. If you ask me for some desire, it'll be something demoniac. It'll be harmful to me and other people, so please don't even ask. But I know you're going to ask. So, please forgive my father for all of his bad activity, including trying to kill me in many different ways. That was his first request. The person who tried to kill me, please forgive him. And all of the other bad things that he's done, please relieve him from the reactions of all those sinful activities. Compassion. Compassion. It exists in the world in those ways, but it's very rare. It's very rare indeed. But Prahlad is the emblem of that compassion. When Lord Nrisingadev said that that's already accomplished. He was killed in my presence. And he was killed for you, so he's already liberated. So ask for something that didn't happen already. So Prahlad Maharaj said, please deliver all the conditioned souls. Because he spoke some strong language, they're foolish. The translation is they're fools and rascals, meaning they're misdirected. They don't know any better, and because they don't know any better, they're doing things that are very detrimental to them. Please rescue them. For me, I don't have any difficulty. I just remember you. And when I remember you, I'm safe. I'm protected. Everything is very nice. Even with Hiranyakashipu harassing, just remember you and everything is nice. Everything is nice. But when I see the situation of all the conditioned souls in this material world suffering and suffering and suffering, completely unnecessarily suffering so badly, my distress is to see their distress. So Prabhupada would speak this phrase, para dukkha dukkhi. The distress of Prahlad was the unhappiness or the misery of other people. His dukkha was the dukkha of others. Not like he owned their problems, but he felt compassion. And he wanted to do something about it. Compassion is a acknowledgement. There's some cognitive thing that goes on. You see the suffering of another. And compassion is you feel something about that suffering. And then there's an active element. You do something about that suffering. Exactly with Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And Vyasadeva saw the condition of the age of Kali. And he was feeling awful. I must do something. This is the heart of a truly saintly person. They feel compassion for the misfortune of others. So Vyasadeva, he was a literary person. He compiled the Vedas and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya delivered the holy name. Prahlad Maharaj remembered the Supreme Lord and gave pure teachings to anyone and everyone, even his father. Sometimes it's difficult to give teachings exactly what he said. Matir na Krishne paratakshuto. Some persons don't get it even if they are given it. Here it is. They can't get it. Grahapratanam. Because they're too much attached to material existence. And anyone that's gone on Harinam Sankirtan or done book distribution or conducted programs or gotten involved with the lives of persons who show some possible interest in Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to extract the soul from the contaminations of material existence. But Prahlad Maharaj was unlimitedly compassionate. And the compassion of a Vaishnav draws the mercy of the Supreme Lord. It invokes that descending mercy so it can be distributed. Even amongst the demons, Prahlad was wishing for their deliverance and well-being. So our situation is much easier than Prahlad's. But we don't have the capacity that Prahlad had either. So we have our scale of challenge. But he, Prahlad Maharaj, teaches us. Lord Nrisimhadeva will protect us. We don't need to worry about our protection. We must not forget him. But we need not worry about our protection. We don't need to worry about our own stuff, our own worldly things. We need to focus our attention on that which is of concern for the Supreme Lord himself. The misfortunate suffering of people of this world. It's voluminous. It's oppressive. We must do something. We're called to action. And so our action item is Lord Chaitanya gave it to us. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Prahlad Maharaj fits in perfectly, perfect fit with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his great compassion to flood the world with love of God through the congregational chanting of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he's sent into our company one of the foremost empowered personalities to do exactly that. Maybe go to Maharaj, so I'll have Maharaj speak something. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Well, everything he said was absolutely perfect except the last thing.
Well, wait a minute now. What you described of that whole scene in South Africa, my goodness. Let's just say Krishna likes to use you as his instrument. Let's just say that.
Or we could say I was just in the right place at the right time.
Okay. You were in the right place at the right time, and Krishna used you as an instrument. And you were enjoying even describing it, what to speak of, what the experience was like.
Well, it was super.
I can imagine.
The Harinam go out.
A whole orchestra and a whole 20 ladies singing, and Aretha Franklin.
Not only one Aretha, but 15, you know.
That must have been out of sight.
It was. It was really, it was very cool.
Spiritual world.
It was very cool. It was very nice.
Did you go back again after that?
We went back just recently. for the Rath Yatra.
And?
But they had a different
setup.
Format this year. But they're planning to have an outreach festival in September that will be sponsored by the Durban government. So I'm waiting to see if they want to do a symphony, depending on that function or not.
Maybe I'll go.
You should come.
There's other things going on in September, but that sounds really far out.
They want to have a festival where they bring all the different colors of South Africa together.
Okay.
Just sort of like to share the unity and the diversity based on spiritual culture.
Great.
So it's that was the theme last year, and I think that's why the manager of the orchestra, his mind was absolutely blown, because he said, "What have you done? You know, 65-piece orchestra, people all over the world, and a Christian gospel choir, you know, all African ladies singing the Maha Mantra and doing their movements. And 5,000 people sitting there."
They do that in Rajasthan, like, too.
That movement?
Yeah. Oh. We had some Chinese girls imitating the Indian ladies that were doing it. And then the Indian ladies got really fired up, and then the Chinese girls got really fired up.
More fired up.
Oh, it was really a scene right in front of the deities.
That generally happens at Gopinath Temple in Jaipur. It was beautiful. It was just Harinam going out. And the orchestra manager, he said, "Govinda, what is this?" He said, "Look in the audience." He said, "So many Indians are there." He said, "Indians never come to symphony." And he said, "But they're enjoying so much." And he said, "So many Africans, they're enjoying so much." And he said, "And so many whites have come here also." Very beautiful. Anyhow, I still maintain my point that he got everything right except the last thing. You know, Srila Ramapad Maharaj, he was speaking about Prahlad Maharaj. And that's basically the same point that I wanted to speak on.
Magnify it, no problem.
Because I could see that from the time we joined, we could see that Prahlad was not only became a hero for us, but Prahlad was a superhero for Srila Prabhupada.
Mm.
And Prabhupada was always focused on the devotional mood that was shown by Raj. And essentially for these principles that His Holiness Ramapada Maharaj presented, that Prahlad was absolutely fearless, you know, because he had the shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. He knew that there was nothing to worry about. He was constantly taking the name of the Lord. And as Maharaj said, you know, it started in the classroom. And the boys, you know, the teacher would step out and the boys would want to play. And Prahlad would just start preaching and get them engaged in kirtan. And I can recall in one of Srila Prabhupada's purports to that section of the Bhagavatam, you know, Prahlad Maharaj is talking to the boys and he's basically saying, just listen. In the entire history of the cosmic manifestation, there has never been one person who has become satisfied through engaging in material activity. Never has there been one person. He's like preaching to these five-year-old boys. And they're saying, "But we just want to play soccer." Or maybe they were saying, "We just want to play cricket." Or here we're in America, maybe American football or baseball. He was saying, no one has ever been successful. Focus your mind. From this age, focus. Another mantra that we would hear from Srila Prabhupada from the time that we came to ISKCON is Prabhupada would always cite Chanaka Pandit. He'd say, a moment lost can never be regained with millions of gold coins. So Prabhupada would say, don't waste time, chant Hare Krishna, any amount of time, like that. And then it started to heat up with the teachers. And it started to heat up with the father. And his father, he said, my dear son, what is the best thing you've learned from your teachers today? And Prahlad was so fearless that he looked at his father and he didn't say, O Pitaji, or he didn't say, Papaji, or he didn't say, my dear father. He said, O best of the demons. I mean, straight on the face.
Asuradvaj.
Asuradvaj. He just straight on his face, he called him a demon. He said, best of the demons, I've learned nothing good here. He said, but I do know one thing. He said that the best activities that any living being can engage in are the 9 activities of bhakti, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. He said, these are the very best activities. And he said, and if any man even engages in one of those activities, he's considered to be the most intelligent person in human society. And naturally, Dad didn't like that. So then the persecution began. And all of us have read the narration of how Prahlad was so relentlessly persecuted by his father. And it said he put him in a pit with all types of dangerous creatures, and even went as far as getting his mother to put poison in his food to try to kill him. And at one point, they threw him from a mountain. And I think, I stand to be corrected, but I think that in Bishanandra, where that Varaha Nrisinga deity is?
Simhachalam.
So they took Prahlad to the top of the mountain, and the demons threw him to the sea. Now I always had some conception that as soon as they chucked Prahlad, then the Lord just appeared and caught him in his arms because he was chanting the name and taking shelter of the Lord. A few years ago, my very dear friend, His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj, he was doing a lot of research for a book. And he was researching information about Prahlad Maharaj. And he said, according to the commentaries of the Acharyas, when the demons threw Prahlad from the mountain, the Lord didn't appear. And Prahlad went flying out, and he started falling. And he was like coming closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the ocean, but the Lord didn't appear until the very last fraction of a second. Because he was testing Prahlad, because he wanted to see, you know, what is he going to do? Is he going to go, Mama? Or is he going to say, you know, holy smokes, what's going on here? You know, or I think people say other things when they're in pressing situations. Holy something else, you know. But, you know, Prahlad just kept taking the name of the Lord, and he just remained absolutely, totally fixed. And then, in the last fraction of a second, the Lord appeared and saved him. He's fearless. And Srila Prabhupada, they caught that Prahlad. Srila Prabhupada was fearless. Nothing could stop Srila Prabhupada. When I came here the other day, I was waiting for my bag in O'Hare Airport. And at the baggage carousel, there was a sign, and it said, "Anyone who is asking you if you want to ride from the airport shouldn't be here." And then below it said, "Solicitation is not allowed in the O'Hare Airport." And the devotees, they used to distribute books there.
Still do.
Still do?
Yeah.
They still distribute books there. And at one point, Srila Prabhupada was so fearless, he instructed one of his devotees, I'm not sure who it was, but he said, "Go to the administration of the airport and ask them to change the name of the airport from O'Hare Airport to O'Hare Krishna Airport." I mean, Prabhupada was like that. He would, and because he had this fearless mood, we were such young people, but he encouraged us, yes, you just take shelter of the Lord, and you take shelter of the devotee of the Lord, and you just go out and do their bidding, you have nothing to fear. And we tried to do that, and you can see beautiful temple in Chicago, so many beautiful temples throughout the United States, books, so many wonderful things, fearlessness. And Prahlad was so compassionate, as Srila Rupa Padmaraj said, always preaching to his mates. And just an ocean of unlimited compassion, because that is the nature of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava feels sad when he sees other people are sad. Vaishnava, he feels sad when he sees the other person is suffering. Sort of, it's sort of different in the material position. That in the material position, a person is simply interested in just going up. And then if the other person goes down, they don't care about that. And sometimes they feel good if they see the other people going down. And just like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Krishna describes the demonic nature, you know, he describes the mentality of the demons, and he says, you know, "I've got so much today, and I'm going to get so much tomorrow, and if I have to kill, you know, to get it, I'll do it, and it's not a problem." But Prahlad, because he was Vaishnav, his whole mentality was absolutely different. When he saw people suffering, he suffered. When he saw people broken in the material world, he was broken. When he saw people, you know, in all the unfortunate situations which we have today in this world, he saw them suffering. Prahlad suffered. And he wanted to do something for them. It's not that he just wanted to sit back and say, "Oh, you know, that's very bad." Like Maharaj was talking about South Africa. South Africa, the Indians there, they're very interesting people because they have a special way of speaking. And they always have, it's like, they always use the word shame. You know, like the person had an accident, shame. Or the person died, shame. You know, so it's not like Prahlad was just sitting in his room and going, shame. You know, so bad situation, shame. But he wanted to do something. So he had that, you know, strength. The courage. The compassion. And he didn't want anything for himself. That's the very, very interesting thing. Like, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, he taught us so clearly. Lord Chaitanya has said, we shouldn't ask for anything. He says we shouldn't ask for wealth. We shouldn't ask for popularity. We shouldn't ask Shishi, Kishore, Kishori, Ki, Jai. Srila Prabhupada would tell us, Lord Chaitanya said, don't ask for wealth. Don't perform service to God because you want something from God. You don't want wealth. We don't want popularity, followers. We don't want a beautiful wife. We don't want to hear, we don't want to experience all the beautiful things of this world. Lord Chaitanya says, we don't even want to have liberation from this world. That's not an essential principle for us. But what we do want is that birth after birth after birth, we will be the servant of the devotees who serve the Lord. Just to be the servant of Jagadish. That's all we want. Prahlad was like that, Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada taught us, you be this way. Prabhupada would say, millions of dollars for Krishna. Not one paisa for yourself. Just serve and serve and serve. And we can see Prahlad in that way. And Lord Nrisimhadev reciprocated and served him in that way. It was just like a reciprocation of love. Because his devotee was being abused, the Lord became so angry and he appeared in a form of like manifest anger and he annihilated Hiranyakasipu. He killed Hiranyakasipu in reciprocation to protect his devotee Prahlad. The Lord is Bhaktivatsal. He's the lover of his devotee. He came and, you know, he played with Hiranyakasipu. I think the Bhagavatam says he, like a cat plays with a mouse before the cat finally finishes the mouse. And Hiranyakasipu is flying here and there and doing all sorts of different things, and Lord Nrisimhadeva was manifesting different forms, and you know, and finally he killed them. And after he killed them, after he killed him, they had such a situation that the Lord, he wouldn't stop being angry. He was ferocious. And the demigods tried to approach. The Lord was angry. Lakshmiji, they wanted her to approach. And she said, no, I know my husband when he's in a bad mood. You know, it's like, you know, it's like Lord Nrisimhadeva was just like, instead of like hair, it was like flames, you know, of anger. It's like, he's really angry. I'm not going to go to him. And finally they encouraged Prahlad. They said, look, you're his pure devotee. You're fearless. He loves you. Maybe you can go and calm him down. And then Prahlad, with all of that humility, compassion, everything that Srila Ramapada Maharaj described, Prahlad went forward and the Lord embraced him. And then Prahlad started offering beautiful prayers. And he just... Actually, I read something in one of the books a long time ago. And because I'm getting old, I can't remember specifics sometime. But it said that when Nrisimhadev greeted Prahlad, he said, it's one commentator said, just like a cat will... lick its baby, said even Nrisimhadev licked Prahlad and gave him mercy. And then Prahlad started offering these prayers that were so beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada would always quote those prayers. Always he would quote those prayers. And in the end of Prahlad's recitation of prayers, then Nrisimha, he became pacified and his anger went out. And he looked at Prahlad and he said, my dear Prahlad, please He said, I know you're selfless, but take something. Ask for some benediction. He said, first I bless you that you live a very, very long life. And I bless you that you will always be very, very peaceful through engaging in service. Because it is only by engaging in service, which is based on hearing and chanting, that you'll actually ever be able to see me. And after he said these nice words to Prahlad, he said, ask for something. And then Prahlad did. And as Srila Rupad Maharaj said, Prahlad, his mentality was, look, I was born in a demonic family. And if I'm going to ask for something, undoubtedly it's going to be demonic. I was born very, very low. And the Lord is willing to give me anything. And it's pretty touchy situation what I may ask for. And so he was nervous. And he began to speak to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I know that every soul in this world is here because of lusty material desires that they have in their heart. And I can remember Srila Prabhupada, hearing Prabhupada give lectures or either reading or in conversations, and Prabhupada would always speak about Mr. Lusty being the worst enemy that we all have. And Prahlad said, Lord, he said, I'm so worried. I know we're all here because of lusty material desire. He said, therefore, Lord, very humbly, I pray to you that you will take all material desires and all material aspirations out of my heart. And when he said that, Lord Nrisimhadev looked at him and he said, Prahlad, I'm God. Who are you? Who do you think you can fool? I know that you don't have any material desires. And I know that you're only desiring, you know, the welfare for everyone in human society. And basically he told Prahlad, he said, please, ask for something else. And then when Prahlad, he asked for something else, is exactly as Srila Rupada Maharaj said. He said, Lord, I know that when you killed my father, being touched by you, my father became absolutely purified. He said, but when my dad was alive, he was really in Maya. And because he was so much in Maya, he thought that you were the killer of his brother. And therefore, during my dad's entire life, the only thing that he did was he blasphemed you, and he performed all sorts of horrible, atrocious, sinful activities to me. And that's really, really bad for my dad. He said, so Lord, if you want to give some benediction, he said, please, just purify my father. And Lord Nrisimhadev said, again, what are you talking about? He said, you're such a pure devotee that 21 generations of your family are purified just by your taking birth. He said, your dad's in a good situation now. Much better situation. And then Lord Nrisimhadev said, live a long life. What I want you to do is, because now you're the king of the demons, I want you to sit on the throne of the demons. And you rule till the end of this Manu. And he said, but while you're ruling, he said, always act piously. He said, always act according to the principles of Krishna consciousness. And he said, if you do that, he said, by your pious Krishna conscious activities, more sin won't come to you. And by your pious Krishna conscious activities, if you have any reactions from any purva janma, any previous life, all of that will be nullified. And you will always be protected, so don't worry. And Prahlad Maharaj said, "Yes, my Lord." Mm-hmm. Now when he offered his prayers in the chapter before, there's one prayer there that was, for me, hearing Prabhupada and seeing Prabhupada, for me it was always sort of like one of those like mission statements or like absolute principles and foundations of Prabhupada's life that he taught us from the very beginning. And what it was this. In the previous chapter, actually Prahlad Maharaj, he asked for the benediction that he wanted. And it came to one of his prayers of glorification. He said, "Lord, I was just like everybody else in human society." He said, "I had fallen down into a really deep pit of material desires, and there were all types of venomous serpents of sense gratification that were coming and striking me, and I was just subject to all of that." He said, "But my spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni, he came and he lifted me out of that pit. Therefore, if you want to give me any benediction, the best thing that I could ask for is that birth after birth after birth after birth after birth, you will allow me to serve the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni." And that's what we saw in the life of our Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada didn't want anything except to serve his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, "My spiritual master saved me. My spiritual master, he gave me this order. Therefore, I am obliged to fulfill this order of my spiritual master. I'm obliged to spread this compassion. I'm obliged to spread this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the entire world so people will be saved." And we all, when we come to Krishna consciousness, because that is our Srila Prabhupada's mood, that's the mood that gets injected into our hearts. We got it when we were young men, and all of you coming now, you all receive that now. That is Prabhupada's just being purely faithful to the order of his spiritual master. I think that when Srila Prabhupada arrived in America, he arrived in Boston Harbor, he looked out. I don't think I've ever seen Boston Harbor, but and maybe they made it nice now, I don't know. They didn't make it nice. But you can only imagine 1965 how horrible and gray and dirty and dingy and nasty and gritty and everything bad. And Prabhupada came, he looked out and he said, "Lord, why did you bring me here? Why did you bring me to such a horrible place?" And then he said, "Well, I guess you brought me here because you have a mission for me." And he said, "But how am I going to talk to these people? Because they're so covered by Rajas Tamas Bhav. And they're so much covered by Rajagun and Tamagun. How can I communicate with them?" And then Prabhupada said, "Lord, if you want to make me speak, you make me speak. You give me the words." And then Prabhupada cited that verse from Prahlad Maharaj. And he said, "You know, my only hope, my only desire, my only aspiration, my only abhilash Is that birth after birth after birth, I will just serve the order and the instruction of my spiritual master. And that was Prabhupada's mood. And that was Prahlad's mood. Just to conclude, I can tell one short story. Srila Prabhupada went to join Krishna in November of 1977, and I was the cook in Vrindavan. And then, I guess it was like December 1977, I went into Delhi one day. I would go to Mathura train station, and I would take a train in the morning, and then I would do my little things in Delhi, and then I would take the train back to Vrindavan in the afternoon, or to Mathura, and then we'd take a tonga or something like that to Vrindavan. So one day I was walking around Connaught Place, and an Indian man walked out, and he went, Hare Krishna Prabhu. I knew Prabhupada. And I said, sir, and Prabhupada had just passed away a month earlier, so it was in the news, and I said, sir, I think everybody knew Srila Prabhupada. He said, no, seriously, I knew Prabhupada. I said, really? Can you tell me how you knew him? He said, why not? So he told me that he had just, some years before, back in the 60s, he just entered his family life. And he was a vaidya, an Ayurvedic doctor. And he had a shop somewhere in Connaught Place. And Prabhupada would come walking by his shop on a regular basis, distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And he said, because it was our culture, every time I would see Prabhupada, I'd fold my hands and I'd say, Namaste Swamiji, any service for me? And Prabhupada would go, chant Hare Krishna. And keep going. And he said, so many times he saw Prabhupada. So one day Prabhupada came by and he went, Namaste Swamiji, any service for me? And Prabhupada said, yes. I live in a wretched place. Can you find me a good room? So the man started thinking. And he'd just gotten married. And his wife's father was Sri Krishna Pandit, who was a trustee of the Chippewada temple in New Delhi. So he told me, I contacted my father-in-law, and he said, yes, there's a room there. So then Prabhupada shifted to Chippewada. And in the original Bhagavatam that Prabhupada printed in India, it says that his Delhi headquarters is the Radha Krishna Temple in Chippewada, New Delhi, and his Vrindavan headquarters is Radha Damodar Mandir in Sevakunj. So he told me the story, and I felt like, ooh, I have some special nectar. And then he said, and if you do not believe me, my father-in-law is still living, and you can go meet him. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. So then what I did is, he lived somewhere near Kashmiri Gate in Delhi, in the old section of my train. And I went to Old Delhi. At that time, to go from Connaught Place to Old Delhi, they had these old, I think they were old British Harley Davidsons that had these boxes attached. You remember that, Nitagor? You get on these things with about 20 other Indians and bomb over to, Kashmiri Gate for like 2 rupees. So I went there and I started looking through the gullies. And finally I came to the door and I started knocking on the door. And then the door opened. And there was this very old man there. And he looked at me and he said, oh, a Vaishnav has come. I have not seen a Vaishnav since the last time Gurudas came to my house. He said, please come inside. So we went inside. And he started telling me how about every 2 weeks Prabhupada would pitch up at his house in the evening, and he said for minimum 2 hours, they would just read Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada would just, you know, come, sort of, I don't know if it was expected or unexpected, but they would just sit for 2 hours and read Srimad Bhagavatam together. And he said, I love Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. He said, and Prabhupada loved me. That's the interesting thing that I hear from so many of these old people. Like, we all say we love Prabhupada, and we know that Prabhupada loved us, you know, but many of us never had, like, a personal relation with Prabhupada. Here's a person that was reading Bhagavatam with Prabhupada, and they had, like, a real relationship. He said, I loved him, and I could see by his affection, he loved me. And, like, one time a devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, everybody loves you. And Prabhupada, that's because I love everyone, you know. So he said, he loved me very much. He said, and also he loved my wife. And every time he would come in the evening, my wife would become so excited. And she would come in and she would make pranam to Prabhupada. And she would say, Swamiji, Swamiji, what can I make for you to eat? And Prabhupada would go, Are, what kind of a sannyasi do you think I am? You think I'm one of these mendicants that just goes door to door being with grihasthas because they want something to eat? I came here because I want to read Bhagavatam with your husband. Please, leave us men alone. Please go. And go, oh, yes, you know. And she would go out. And they'd start reading Bhagavatam. And after about 5 minutes, he'd say, call your wife. And he'd go, Devi. His wife would come and probably go, Mataji, when you were young, did your mother ever teach you how to make urad dal? And you would spice the urad dal with using like sonf and jeera, some hing, and then you'd take some tomato and you'd use green chili, then you'd take the tomato and you'd burn the tomato and the chaunce a little bit before you put it in the dal. Did your mother ever teach you that? Swamiji, that's just the way my mother taught me. Prabhupada would say, oh, she must have been a very good cook. But please, stop bothering us. We're trying to read Bhagavatam. And he said, then like after about 5 minutes, Prabhupada would say, after a couple of verses, he'd say, call your wife again. He'd probably say, Mataji, when you were young, did your mother teach you how to make gobi aloo? Just using jeera, green chili, little bit of hing, little bit of haldi, stirring it in that, just putting the lid on, letting it simmer until everything is soft, and then putting some danya on top. Did she ever teach you how to cook that way? Swamiji, that's just how she taught me. Brother said, my goodness, she must have been a good cook. Please, but we're trying to study. And he said, Prabhupada would read off a whole menu to her of what he wanted to eat and exactly the spicing that he wanted. And after 2 hours of reading the Bhagavatam, she'd come back and she'd go, Swamiji, Swamiji, please, I've cooked, and I've offered to Thakurji, I've offered to Didi. Will you take prasadam? And probably go, oh, I told you I didn't come here to eat. But you're such a sweet and devoted lady, just to honor you, I'll take the prasadam. And then he said they would sit, he and Sri Krishna Pandit would take prasad together. Then Sri Krishna Pandit, he said, would you like to see my letters from Prabhupada? And I went, wow, I'd love to see your letters from Prabhupada. So he climbed up on one of those stone shelves in the house, you know, that had like this much dust on top. And he had a bundle of letters that were wrapped up in a white dhoti. And he took his bundle down and he started like, you know, getting the dust to come off. Maybe you American folk cannot identify with this so much, but anyone who is Deshi, they can understand. And he opened the letters, and he opened his bundle, and lo and behold, there were a number of letters. I think there must have been 8 letters that Prabhupada had sent him over time. One letter, Prabhupada was railing against, I think maybe it was the president of India. Very harsh letter, you know. And he looked at me. I read the letter, and he smiled, and he said, "We were always afraid that by being his friend, the CID was going to take us in." He said he was very uncompromising. He had a Bhagavatam in one hand and a club in the other hand. And then he showed me one letter where Prabhupada was talking about, and Prabhupada was actually, I don't know why he wrote this, but he was talking about how, I think maybe there was some argument whether a grihastha can live in the temple or a grihastha can't live in the temple. And Prabhupada wrote that if a grihastha is, you know, honestly serving the deity and doing all seva and leading a very pious and righteous life, then he can live in the temple and the temple can take care of him. Then he showed me another letter, and this is the letter that I want everyone to focus on. Because this letter, when I read it, it made me remember Prabhupada, it made me remember Prahlad Maharaj. It was a letter and it said, "Dear Sri Krishna Pandit, I am in New York. I have had serious heart attack. They think that I will die." He said, "Constantly I have loud ringing in my ears like bells. I have terrific pain in my head. I cannot move my body. At any time, I could die. My request to you is that you will go to Mathura and you will go to Vishram Ghat. And at Vishram Ghat, there is a Vaidya from Dhaka Oshad. That don't go to the others because they're all quacks." He said, "But I have faith on the doctor from Dhaka. I am his patient. He knows me. You explain to him my symptoms, prepare the medicine, and send it to me." He said, "It may save my life." And then in the next paragraph, he said, "Please, do not misunderstand me. I am not afraid to die. And I'm not sure, because it's been a long time since I've seen the letter, but he may have said also, Maya cannot touch me." He said, "Do not misunderstand. I am not afraid to die." But this is the important point. He said, "But if I die now, it will be a great loss because I have not as yet fulfilled the order of my spiritual master." And it was signed on behalf of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Steve Gorino, who later was initiated and became His Holiness Satsarup Maharaj. So you can see that even Prabhupada is like laying on the bed in a hospital in New York, and he's in a foreign land, and he's almost at death, a stroke. Was it a heart attack or a stroke? It was something bad. Heart attack. Very strong heart attack. And he's laying there and he could die. He couldn't move. But he said, "I cannot die yet because I've not fulfilled the instruction of my spiritual master." And that was Prahlad Maharaj. That was just the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. "Give me. Therefore, let me serve him." And Prabhupada's mood was, "My master saved me. Let me serve him." So we've all got extraordinary fortune that all of us have somehow or other come into glance of Srila Prabhupada. We can't, it's pretty much inconceivable to try to fathom how much fortune that we have coming in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure devotee, with the pure devotee of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, such an absolutely devoted servant of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So I think that if we appreciate that mercy and connection that we have with Srila Prabhupada, then we should be like Prabhupada and we should be like Prahlad. And we should go out and we should try to share this love and Krishna consciousness with other people. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada Maharaj ki.